Ghostly Thistle presents The Antique Shop. Episode 39, The Academic. None of us are sure there's any such thing as privacy in the shop. Is there a blind corner? A spot that's hidden fae prying eyes? A place where our voices dinna inevitably carry up the stairs? Somehow, one of us decided it was near the door. Just at the window, as though our voices were Wi-Fi signal and would aim more outwards than in. Who were we hiding fae? Madame Norna. Finn had noticed it first. An unusual tick in her behaviour. A glimmer missing fae her eye. It had taken me longer to see. Longer to understand that all wasnae well with my boss. Reed had heard the mysterious conversation between the shadow and the madam as clearly as I had when we'd been rifling through storage. Ollia stood at the window, watching the world outside go about its day as though one of the most powerful people in it wasn't acting strangely. Finn lists what he's noticed. I contribute my own experiences, and Reed nods his head. Every so often, one of us will glance back at the private door. Maybe we think if we keep checking it, then our voices will stay on the right side, and no wander up to ears we'd rather no hear them. After a few minutes of muttering, nervous glances at the private door, and a spiteful laugh as a bairn fell down in the street outside, silence descended as Kronos appeared face somewhere in the shop to join us. None of us had realised he'd been doing with us, assuming he was with the madam. I wasn't ever certain whose side Kronos was on. As the guardian of the shop, where did his loyalties lie? My familiars must have felt similarly, as neither attempted to include him or draw out his own thoughts and observations on the matter. Eventually, after a few more minutes of tense, suspicious silence, Kronos informs us he knows what we're talking about. I swear he'd roll his eyes if he could. He shared with us that something is wrong with the madam, as she won't let him share her thoughts anymore. One, is that a thing? And two, I wasn't aware it was an option to stop Kronos fae getting in your head. It might have seemed like a small thing, but I suppose it meant that the madam was shutting out her closest companion, closest pal, and no matter who you were, that was a strange thing to do if nothing was wrong. I'd taken it seriously before then, but knew it was beginning to take on a more sinister edge. It came to the inevitable question, what did we do? Reed and I, being similarly straight to the point, thought we should just confront the madam with everything we'd noticed and heard. Perhaps because it was all of us, she'd open up about what it was. Kronos and Finn, on the other hand, disagreed. They said if we confronted her about it, she'd just deny it, make excuses. Reed and I didn't put up much resistance to this, as we were the ones who knew the madam the least. Rather than a counter-suggestion, Kronos began to confess that he had a hunch of the reason the madam was acting strangely. He, as the madam's companion and guardian of the shop, could go anywhere he wanted, sit in on any meeting, any customer, anything else he desired. Until recently. In the last month or so, occasionally, when he'd make his way into the front room, the door would be closed. He'd wait outside patiently, only to see a woman come out. Was this woman the shadow I'd heard in the front room with the madam? The one who neither of my familiars could describe? Kronos continued that there was something wrong with the woman, as that was all he could ever remember about her, even though he'd seen her come and go on multiple occasions. He'd rarely experienced anything similar, but thought it was an enchantment of some kind. I informed Kronos of the shadow, of the little I knew, and the little I'd heard in storage. We all agreed we needed to find out who this woman was, and our feline pal had just the solution. The only cameras I ever see in the shop didn't look as though they'll take a very good selfie, but there is a form of CCTV. The phrase, if the walls could speak, wasn't that far off of being true. As the apprentice, I could tap into these echoes, like rewinding a video. Kronos always makes these things sound so easy. Just think back to a day, a month ago. I can't even remember what takeaway we'd gone to last night, let alone what I was doing a month ago. It had snowed, Reed pointed out. He remembered because the trains, in typical fashion, had all been delayed or cancelled, and he'd been late getting to the shop. It had been the first snowy winter, coming down in a slow, steady cascade throughout the night. I'd awoken in the freezing cold to find amber light trying to seep through the gaps in my curtains. When I'd had the courage to get out of bed, I watched the cars laden with snow, fresh tyre marks slicing through the untouched surface. It's always quiet when it snows, every car horn, door slam and footstep engulfed by the silence. A bell echoed through my reverie, unaffected by that snowy scene. I turned around to take a glance at the customer, only to find them heading straight for me, straight through me. I'd been standing on the customer side of the counter, and before I could be collected by this customer, Reed pulled me to safety, where he and Finn were on the employee side. There was something a bit off about this customer, and I didn't mean in the normal clueless way. She seemed a bit transparent. She opened her mouth, but no sound came out. And although she was talking to someone behind the counter, no one was actually there. She nodded her head and then disappeared through the private door, without it even opening. Reed and I stared after her stupidly, but Finn nudged us to look outside. Snow. I'd managed it. We could see all of the customers, or anyone who'd come into the shop since that day, when Kronos said he'd started seeing this shadow. I'm surprised to say the shop is still busy when I'm no around. I didn't recognise half of the faces that came in. Being the madam is a full-time responsibility. Eventually, the bell struck an uneven chime, and I observed as the shadow walked into the shop. She, if it was a she, was the same as I'd seen through the jewellery box mirror. A shadow. Great, this was helpful. Kronos chimed in that if I concentrated a bit more, we might be able to see her face. Wee shite, what did he think I was doing? I heard the sound of her flat shoes on the wooden floorboards of the shop. The sound of her trousers brush against each other with every step she took. The more I thought about this shadow, the more was uncovered, until the very tip of her chin was exposed. But that was all I could manage. No matter what I did, no matter what I thought, I couldn't get the shadow to disappear from her face. She spoke to the strange, blurry people at the counter, and then went through the private door. The outline of Reed and Finn throwing Dune cards on the counter made me realise they'd even spoken to this woman, but didn't seem to remember. Was I the same? Had I actually met this shadow before, but just couldn't recall? As Kronos had reported, the woman came and went, always in similar smart clothes, a blazer and trousers, occasionally a skirt. She had a satchel slung around her shoulders and a shiny gold pin with a strange shape stuck to her lapel. What made my unease grow was how frequent her visits became. I estimated it was at least once every 3 days. I kept trying to see her face, to pry the dark mask covering her, but had obviously reached my limit. Eventually, the mirage caught up to the present time, and the ghostly apparitions disappeared, leaving only the four of us in the shop. Fuck, what were we supposed to do now? Finn's usual chipper voice told me not to fret, that he'd seen something that could help us. The badge on her lapel, the one that had caught the light every time she'd walked into the shop, was a very exclusive pin. It belonged to a club of sorts, a group of academics who believed in and studied fate. Secret society or consortium, the distinction wasn't really clear, but they'd been around for a long time. Over the last century, it had gained traction, with some believing that they had fate cracked. They knew how it worked, they knew how to exploit it. To them, you just had to be clever enough. My stomach clenched. For surprise, shock or insult, I wasn't sure. Had that been what I was missing? Brains. If I'd just been clever enough, fate would never have beaten me. Reed announced, a hint of irritation in his tone, that was bullshit. Rather than directing the comment to everyone, he was looking straight at me. We've been spending too much time together. He's getting as bad as Kronos with knowing what I'm thinking. Finn and Kronos appeared to agree, but I was having trouble getting the thought out of my head. Had I just been too careless? Were these academics right? Those thoughts were for another time. There were more pressing matters at hand. Why was an academic who studied fate coming to see the madam? Why was she pressuring both madams to do certain things? A confrontation was in order, and unlike many of my lecturers and tutors at university, this one appeared to have a regular schedule. All of us agreed to be in the shop for the next time she came. I didn't really know what I expected. It's strange how my imagination never stretched as far as what was underneath the shadow. This woman, this academic, was as plain as anyone else. There was nothing striking, scary or enrapturing about her. I probably had come across her before and just forgot. Yet, at the same time, she had this glint in her eye, as if she knew something the rest of the world didn't. And that frightened me more than I can say. But this wasn't the time to be afraid. My familiars and I blocked her path, Kronos sitting safely on the glass countertop, tail flicking around erratically. I briefly wondered if he'd go into beast mode before thinking better of it. I informed the unwanted guest that she wasn't going to see the madam today, on her next visit, or ever again. She was to leave and never come back. When she smiled at me, my confidence faltered. And when she burst out laughing, it vanished altogether. The academic told us we'd get out of her way, and never try to stop her again. We were all safe in the shop, practically untouchable. But what about outside? A mugging gone wrong, caught in the midst of a gang war, a drunk driver. We were just as vulnerable as everyone else. And although it might not kill us, it certainly might make us wish we were dead. If we got in her way, if we tried to interfere with her plans for the madams, we'd find out. We'd all benefit from her plan in the end, if she got her way, which she would. A few more thread pulls, a few more manoeuvres, a few more customers' fates altered, and she'd finally stick it to fate. What the fuck? She was doing exactly what I'd been doing, on a larger scale. Why the fuck was she getting away with it? Why had I been subjected to psychological torture, yet she was allowed to waltz in here day after day, manipulating the madams to do her bidding? Why was I living in fear that I'd lose the people I loved, and she wasn't? I didn't hear the private door open, but the madam appeared from behind me. I felt myself gear a cold stare, even though I knew none of this was her fault. My anger simmered when she told us to let the academic pass. I heard the blood rush to my head, and a sharp twinge bloomed from my temples, as if there was too much pressure in my veins. No, I informed the madam, and my voice sounds different, deeper, a hint of an echo, similar to when we were ambushed in storage by the candle monster. I turned to face the academic, the thrumming in my head growing louder, the pressure causing my jaw to tighten. She thought she was so clever, so untouchable, doing what she liked to strangers she hadn't even met, to our customers, to Honora's clients. All of that intelligence she prized, she used to potentially devastating effects, would one day be lost. As the second hand ticked by, her cleverness would break up, consuming every other part of her mind until she couldn't even remember her own name. Her mind would wither away until she was nothing but an empty shell. I vaguely hear my name being called, a hand on my arm, my shoulder, but just like they've been electrocuted, they're gone just as quickly. I'm no sure I'm speaking out loud. I didn't think I am, but something's changed. There's an atmosphere to the shop, and the pain in my head threatens to make me sick. Then the academic collapses on the floor like a doll falling from its place on the bed. I gasp in air, like I'd been holding my breath for the last few minutes, and the pressure in my head is gone, causing me to sway unsteadily, tempted to collapse as the academic has. Reed holds me up whilst Finn walks over to the academic's body as it lies lifeless on the floor. The haunted look in his eye when he glances back after checking makes my legs slacken, and I can feel Reed hold onto my arm tighter. I think I'm going to be sick. I want to be. Anything to make this feeling go away. It all happens quickly after that. Someone phones an ambulance. It's certainly no me. Paramedics swarm the shop, somehow managing to fit a gurney through the narrow door, and wheel the academic aft to hospital. Finn goes where, and the agonising wait begins. Many hours later, I think, Finn phones. The academic is alive, but has severe brain damage. One day, in the no-so-distant future, she'll no be able to look after herself, and will have to be put in a home or have full-time carers. The doctors were waiting until she woke up to tell her. I'd found a nook in the shop to hide whilst waiting for the news. Reed had to take my phone and end the call. He didn't try to say anything. He was smarter than that. No long after the phone call, there was another set of footsteps in the shop. Reed raised his head to find the madam towering over us. She took his place beside me. I didn't understand what happened. Did I do that to her? Did my thoughts do that to another person? How? I was no one, just an apprentice. I hadn't meant it. I felt the madam's smooth fingertips wipe the tear that had cascaded down my cheek. She began to explain that the academic hadn't had the best luck in life. One day she'd found out about the club that studied fate and joined. Over time, the more she learned, the more she began to think, like I had, that fate could be manipulated, tweaked to give certain people different outcomes, to change their fate. She wanted to change hers. She wanted the luck she thought she was owed. The easiest way to do that was by going straight to the source. The madams. It hadn't been a problem recruiting Honora, but in order to get my boss to help, threats had been made. If Madam Norna didn't follow instructions, then Reed, Kronos, Finn and I would pay the price. My boss continued that there's very few differences between the two madams. One was created to be equal to the other. One followed fate, helped it run smoothly. The other caused havoc. And in order for there to be balance, they had to be equally powerful. Just because Madam Honora traditionally helped to curse people didn't mean that Madam Norna couldn't do the same. They just chose not to. Every madam, regardless of name, had the power to cause hurt, to enchant, to curse. And I'd just unleashed my first one. Whatever power I possessed as Madam in Waiting was amplified inside the shop. I'd been so angry at the academic, angrier at myself, that I'd condemned her to the same bitterness I'd felt when Reed was hurt, ripping away the one thing she treasured the most. I did that. I hadn't known what I was doing. But was that even true? Perhaps some dark part of me did. The sense deep down that knows more than I do. I was starting to think I may be apprentice to the wrong madam. After a few minutes of muttering, nervous glances at the... Yep, no, damn it. It might have seemed like a small thing, but I suppose it meant that the madam was shutting out... Rather than a counter suggestion, Kronos began to confess. Fuck. That was my knee. Bone cracking, yeah! It had been the first snowy winter, coming down. And before I could be collected by this customer, really. But Finn nudged us to take a look outside. Nope. Thank you for listening to episode 39 of The Antique Shop. Episode 40 will be released in 2 weeks' time. Just a small reminder, I probably should have told you before this, but episode 40 will be the last in this block, as it always is. You probably already knew that, you already predicted it, but I'm just confirming, episode 40 will be the season finale or the block finale or whatever I have not decided to call them. So yeah, episode 40 will be the last for a while. So as I did the last time, I'll be taking 6 to 8 weeks, maybe longer, off so I can write the next block or start at least planning out the next block and, yeah, so I can get a head start on the next block, because it is a lot easier having all of these pre-written, and so they are allowed to, as I call it, to mature before I edit them and then record them. So yes, episode 40 will be the season finale, and then I'll be gone for about 2 months whilst I prepare the next season and the next block. And then I'll be back. So keep an eye out on Twitter and Facebook and Reddit, and I'll announce there when the next episode, which will be 41, will be released. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you for the season finale.